times, you think moving is exactly what you want to do. Or not.
But you realize, either way, you'll be okay. This is the Wayward Podcast.
Right, now I'm recording.
We're recording.
I see blippy blippies.
It's happening.
Okay.
You're still recording?
Yeah, I'm recording again.
So what we're learning here at the new Wayward Podcast Studio, we have updated equipment and software and an updated technician named Kim Rhodes.
Same old brain is the problem.
Oh, my God. But that was significantly faster than last time.
Yes.
You did good.
I made the it's
Are you proud of yourself?
A little bit, yeah.
This is what I always ask Valentina. I always go quick. I'm quick to go, are you proud of yourself? Before I say I'm proud of her, so that she learns to self-validate.
To define herself first. That's important.
How do you feel? Are you happy? Do you feel happy? Do you feel sad? Like, I just ask her how she feels as opposed to me telling her I feel these ways about
and
her.
And that my feelings should create her experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's important.
And did you make your bed this morning?
I do. I don't like housekeeping to come into my room.
Me neither. But I'm also like, look at you, tucked it.
I don't sleep on that side. That's my husband's side.
Oh, we slept on the other side.
Yeah.
But you don't like pull your sheets up. I cocoon myself. That's why Jose and I
that's why this side is nice because I don't sleep on this side.
But I the pull other side. Up the sheets. The first thing I do when I get into bed is I go around and I pull all the sheets out from around the bed. And then when I sleep, I roll on each side so I cocoon myself, which is why Jose and I can no longer share a blanket.
See, I do that on one side.
Mm, okay.
Which is funny because Travis and I do not share blankets.
Yeah.
But even when I'm away, like when I said that's his side, he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
He's not sleeping in his side. Mm-hmm. I just still sleep on my side of the bed.
I don't think I do that. I don't.
Which is funny because I don't necessarily, I'm not a great sharer when we're in the same bed.
I always sleep on the side in a hotel room that's closest to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, I mean, yes, because often I will have to pee in the middle of the night, but also it's farthest away from the window.
Oh.
And I, as you know, sleep with a face mask and earplugs and I have to be very cautious about my sleep. Although these curtains are amazing.
They work.
Oh, fuck. They're like total blackout curtains. It's amazing. Anyway. That's enough about us.
That's us catching up
yes.
with each other, having not seen each other for 10 minutes.
Ay, ay, ay. So Kim and I, yes, are at a convention in, where are we?
Oh, fuck. Chicago.
Like on my way because Kim did a convention last weekend in Atlanta. And before I was leaving, one of my mom friends, being one of my friends who was a mom of Valentina's friend, was like, oh, you're out of town again. Where are you going? And I had no idea. I had to look on
no
my
clue.
Phone. I just know I get picked up.
Yep.
I show up at
Same.
The airport.
Same.
I give them my name and they put me on a goddamn plane somewhere.
Yep. I don't even, yep.
I no pack clue. The same clothes. However, I did stay in Chicago this time a little bit longer and I had a great time. I think Chicago is a very cool city.
Well, and you are to segue into you are going home mm-hmm. to a new house.
That's right.
Right?
And that's another reason why I, to also segue, chose to stay in Chicago as opposed to flying back to Vancouver and then flying back to Chicago.
Uh-huh.
I just came straight to Chicago because it's an hour flight versus a 12-hour travel day. So I moved, I guess about 3 weeks ago. So I think the longest break we have from conventions all year just happened. And it was about 5 weeks, 4.5 weeks.
Sounds right.
It was a substantial amount of time. But in that time, I had to take Valentina to a dance competition in Whistler for a few days. And then we came back, immediately moved. That took about 3 days.
Did you have to find the place? Because I remember
The
you
dance
had a
competition?
Hard time. No, find the place to live.
Yes. Yeah. No, I was just saying that, like, while I, during that time, I was so busy, and then I went to my mom's house for a week to help her with a bunch of stuff in Saskatchewan. And then I came back and immediately had to go back to work. So that's why I was in Chicago, is my point. Because during that move, we were asked, we had been in a place for about 9 years or eight and a half years, maybe. We moved in before Valentina was born, and we moved in at a time where we had become pregnant by surprise. Neither of us had that much money. We had very, you know, low paying jobs, which was sadly what 90% of the world makes, you know? And we're like, what are we going to do? And so we moved into a place that had great neighbors, that had enough space.
It was a
ground floor of a house.
Yes.
So okay. In Vancouver, there's lots of houses. They're called Vancouver Specials. And it's a very specific kind of house. They're all over the city. And it's because in the 70s, I want to say, there was a big immigration influx. And a lot of families were moving with their parents. And so what they were meant for was kind of larger family living.
Yeah.
And what people would do is they not always made the bottom floor into a suite, but if people bought those houses, they would then make them into a suite and turn it into income property. Because in Vancouver, I don't know if you know this, you cannot own a house without having tenants because the housing market is excruciating.
Wow.
So everybody has a basement suite in Vancouver. Everybody. I don't know anybody that doesn't have a house with a basement suite. And so we were it wasn't quite a basement suite. It was a ground floor suite, but it was fine and it was inexpensive. And we had great neighbors that really helped us at a time when we were, you know, we didn't know what we were doing with parenting and all of that. And it was a great neighborhood. And we stayed there and Valentina went to school. And when I started making more money, we looked at moving, but it was... When we started looking, everything was about the same for double the price.
Ah, yeah.
So we were like, let's just stay here. And that's when we decided to get a place in LA. So instead of moving, we got an apartment in LA. And we lived there just for a year, part-time. We would go back and forth. So we had both apartments. And then the pandemic hit and we were like, thank fucking Christ that we didn't move to a more expensive place.
Yes.
Because I lost all of my work and I would have been totally screwed.
Yeah.
Totally screwed if we had moved somewhere that was like $3,500 a month. And now that's just the average price for an apartment in Vancouver. So anyway, our neighbors who live upstairs own the house and their kids are now teenagers and starting to go to university and they need more space. So they kindly asked us to move out in a very beautiful, genuine, loving way. They gave us 4 months, which sounds like a long time, but when we were looking for a place, we're like, okay, let's go on Craigslist or where, whatever, you know, apps or whatever. First we thought we were going to buy a place. This was really fucked. It's because I have...
In Vancouver. Okay.
So we were
I
was like, okay, this is... We actually took it as a sign because we've been talking about purchasing the place for a long time. We have a huge down payment, zero debt, perfect credit, and I have a good income. So we're like, this is the perfect time. And then in Canada, I don't think it's the same in California, but in Canada, they look at the last 2 years of your income.
Oh, no, it's the same in California.
Oh, so a friend of mine told me it was 2 months.
To purchase?
Yeah, to get a mortgage.
That was not my experience.
That's not true. Because okay. I was like, oh, my God, that's crazy.
Oh, no.
But anyway, they looked at and I had very little income during the pandemic. So I wasn't approved for a mortgage. I could get a mortgage, but it would only be $700,000, which in Vancouver would get you maybe a studio apartment in Burnaby. Like it would get you nothing. And your mortgage would be $4,000 a month.
Oh my gosh.
And we're just like, what the fuck are we going to do? So we just were like, okay, that's it. We're going to rent for another while and make a new plan. And so we went on Craigslist and Subhub or Jump Hump and whatever.
Jump Hump.
This is like a new dating app.
That's the best apartment finder ever.
Jump home. Two birds, one stone. we sent some emails to a few apartments, and nobody would email us back. I probably sent 30 emails, Kim. And I think three places emailed us back. One of them was a fraud.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. they're like, we're, you know, you send us a check and then we'll send you the key or something like that, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. One of them was like, we've already signed with somebody. If it falls through, we'll let you know. And the other one was this place. This place was the only house we looked at.
Yep.
And we could have looked at more because I think there was other place we were willing to look at. But it started to get a little panicky around mm-hmm. the city. Like everybody was looking for a place to live. And because this place was a 3-bedroom and it was a house as opposed to an apartment. So like I said, everything in Vancouver is either condos or basement suites.
Yep.
And this was a house. And so we're like, oh God, okay. And we went and looked at it. And Kim, it's not great. Now, that being said, it's not bad. Everything was all new appliances. And I'm telling you, Kim, having a giant washer and dryer in my kitchen is amazing. Because yeah. we had to share one forever for yeah. almost my entire adult life. And
oh, that's a big deal. That is a yes. big deal. Just having a washer and dryer that you don't have to save quarters for.
Save quarters for. Or even like we didn't have to pay for this washer and dryer, but you had days that you could use it. So if you were like leaving town or something and want a specific outfit, or you had stained something and you're like, oh, I got to wash this now. Anyway, it's a silly little thing, but I'm telling you.
It's a big deal. Yeah. That goes on my gratitude list every day is having a washer and dryer in my apartment.
As it should. And yeah, a new stove, new fridge. Yeah, all new appliances. Freshly painted, has old school, very, very old school hardwood floors that are a little like rougher wear, but I kind of love that about them. And then the cabinets in the kitchen are something else. I don't even know if I can find a picture of it for you, but they are like, so the only woman who owned this house was the original owner from the 70s.
Oh.
She's the only one. And the kitchen is like the countertop looks like she has run a full butchery shop in that kitchen and just use the countertop instead of a cutting board. And then, so it's like, you don't even know what color it is anymore, but it's all brown. And then the cupboards are like just flat brown, dark brown wood, like that from the cabin, like that kind of dark brown wood
wow.
with like black brown handles. Anyway, none of it is awful. All of it is fine. It's not real pretty, but that we can fix.
Yeah.
And that we can just put some love into. So none of that was a deal breaker. It has a front yard and a backyard and a balcony and a garden and covered parking. And I recognize some people who own houses are like, it's insane that that's a special thing to you. But like, A, listen, I don't consider I grew up on the spectrum of poor.
Yep.
And so we rented a lot and we always rented houses that was like whatever we could afford. And then in Vancouver, that's just what it's like. There isn't a lot. And if you got in the market 20 years ago because your parents helped you out, then you probably have a house now. But yeah, it's very tricky, but we're trying to just think of all the awesome things. I now have a room that's just a studio.
Office.
Yeah. And we've got like our blue screen set up and I've got my recording studio set up and that's so important. Valentina has a big bedroom. We got her a big loft bed and
Tabby has one of those. Big
chair. Yes.
Yeah.
And she loves it. She spends every waking second in that bedroom and her old bedroom was so tiny that she never ever hung out in it.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody seems happy and I haven't spent much time there. After I got back from my mom's, before I came to Atlanta, I had about a week where I kind of just moved some furniture around. We haven't hung anything, but it's getting there. But it was definitely a panicky time. And I know you saw me during that time and I was doing a bunch of conventions and I was just like, oh my God, we're so fucked. And all I could think about was I'm stressed, but I'll be fine because I have money right now. The number of people in Vancouver who do
in
not.
In this world.
In this world. But I'll speak only from my experience. The number of people in Vancouver who do not make enough of an income to live a base life is shocking. And the fact that that I couldn't find a place to live and I make a good income, all I could think about was the number of families that could be displaced had they had the same experience that I had. So it's kind of crazy out there. It's kind of crazy. You know?
The reason we brought this up is because we're both, I am getting keys, not me personally in Chicago, but Travis and Tabby are going down to get the keys to our new house tomorrow.
And
what prompted our move was I had fucking had it.
Yeah.
I've been in Los Angeles since 1999.
You had it with the city.
I had it with the life.
Okay.
With all of life.
Yes, yeah.
I've been in Los Angeles since 1999. And about, what is this, 2022? So about 2019, I really was like, my career is no longer, it has stagnated. I'm not
your acting career.
Yeah, my acting career has stagnated. I am not enjoying my I've got things that keep me happy because I'm always going to find a way to be happy, but we were in an apartment with no yard. And right. I grew up in Oregon.
Yep.
I needs me and it was impossible to buy. You're not going to buy a house in LA that has a yard that we could live in for under like $1.2 million. And so we said, okay, this is 2018. I said, I need to leave. And he said, all right, give me a year. Let's see what happens in a year. And in a year later, the pandemic hit.
Right.
So then we had two more years when we were still, so it has been 3 years that I was like, I am fucking, it was an airplane.
Oh, Jesus.
Airplane flying past.
And now you know where we are. No, I'm
yay,
just kidding.
We're outside the airport. And so then it became like, oh, give me until March. And nothing changed. And I just was like, honey, nothing's changing. I know you're waiting for like that job or that thing.
You
or
said
that
this to Travis?
To Travis. Okay, yeah. Yeah. And he finally was like, you're right. And he saw that I just was fucking miserable. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we found a lot of looking at, because what I originally wanted to do was move to Wisconsin or Oregon. And what he originally wanted to do was move to Studio City. And neither of those choices would make the other partner happy.
Yes.
So we ended up looking at some very remote Los Angeles suburbs. And we found a house that everything just fell in place. We put a bid on another house because this was when there were bidding wars going on. Like houses were going for $50,000 over asking price.
That happens in Vancouver.
And we put a bid on one house that was accepted. And then we looked a little deeper at the house. And I was in love with the idea of this house. Right. As you know, I do.
Yeah.
I fall in love with ideas. And sometimes my idea is so adamant that it obscures the reality of the situation that is in front of me.
Right.
And so my lovely husband finally, as we were, you know, getting inspections and this is a problem and this is it. And finally he said, will you just please go look at it and look at what it is and not what you want it to be? And I came back and went, fuck, I can't follow this. No, we're great. They won't come down to the price we want to pay.
Yep.
We're walking. And that was on a Friday and Monday. I literally went down and looked at this house. I said, Travis, do you trust me enough to put a bid on it with you never having seen it? And he was like, oh, yes, I do. Put a bid on it. We got it by $1,000. Like it went for over, but only slightly over. We got it. We were the highest bid by like $1,000.
Oh wow!
And we got it. But this one, unlike the other one, which there was red flag after red flag after problem after this is bright. This was, oh, and look, it has this, and oh, this is included, and oh, they want to work with you on this, and oh, that way, and like the other one was owned by a corporation, and this one's
owned
by people that I loved already. I've never met them. I may never meet them, but I adore them.
Have the house.
They wanted us to, and I wanted to help them. Like they were in careers. I don't want to share a lot of information about them on a podcast without their information, but without their approval. But they just, there was so much about them that I wanted them to be able to move forward with their lives in joy and comfort and ease. So it just, it really fucking worked out. But we move 2 days before our next convention. And it's a big move. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, what am I just have to go, I just, if I get through the next 4 weeks of my life, I will have succeeded in everything.
It is,
moving is big.
It is. I used to move a lot. Like my entire adulthood, I've moved a lot. Probably at least, I've moved in Vancouver. This is only the third or fourth move. But I used to move across the country with just a suitcase. I've done it 2 or 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I would move apartments within the city and I was always moving. When I lived in Toronto for 4.5 years and I was subletting apartments. So I think I moved 5 or 6 times in Toronto, but I didn't have any stuff. And now yeah. I have so much fucking stuff because I'd been in this place for so long, longer than I've lived anywhere. And the thing that honestly made it so much easier that was a godsend is my brother, one of my brothers, Jared, was in town for work and he drove up with his massive truck.
Oh, so, okay. So this is what I wanted to, for those of you who've hung in, bless your hearts with us this long. I want to talk about things that made it hard and things that make it easy.
Okay.
So
we did I went very quickly on my personal Instagram and asked my friends who've had a good experience with movers. And so we got lots of suggestions for that.
Yeah.
Then my brother came with his, so we got good movers. We booked them. They were unavailable on Saturday and Sunday, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We asked our landlords if we could move on the third as opposed to the first, and they didn't give a shit. So we were able to book the movers on a day that they weren't booked solid because everybody moves on first. That helped. My brother lent us his truck so that we could do. Now, I was able to do this because I didn't move too far away from where
this
I already
is what,
live.
I think you're going to say something that we're doing too that I'm hoping will be helpful.
Well, we did trips.
Yes, that's
with
what,
a truck.
Yep.
We did trips with like breakable stuff, with plants.
Yep.
With things that we like. Pardon me, we're not able to put in boxes.
That's exactly what we're hoping to do if we ever get.
And that was a savior. It was a lot of work, but it was a savior.
Good.
We also rented boxes. Instead of, we rented green boxes. So they're very, very hard. They literally will, you go, I have a 2-bedroom apartment. They drop off a shit ton of boxes stacked up. And then you fill them and then
I
they come
and pick
them
up. I did not know this. Although we've been packing for 4 weeks. So
yeah, that's
I don't
amazing.
Know if they would
We
let
did
us.
Not. We packed in basically like 1 week because I was working the whole time, as were you. And Jose was also working. So the kitchen was by far the hardest thing to pack and unpack. We needed more boxes than we thought we did.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah.
So we ended up in our trips going and unpacking boxes in the new house and then bringing them back.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Thank you. Because I don't go yet. And that's an excellent idea.
Yeah. And then something that I'm doing now, which is something I've never done, is that I am decorating the house slowly.
We plan on doing the same.
Yeah. I usually am just like, I want it to be done. I want it to be cute. I want it to be ready to go. And then I can hurry up and relax.
Yes. Same.
But now I'm like, let's really think about where we want things. And, you know, we're going to, a good friend of mine is an interior designer and she helped us with our last place when we decided not to move, just with like wallpapering and some new furniture and just to like zhuzh it up without changing too much. She's going to help us with this place.
That's great.
Yeah. So
Sam Smith helped us with our apartment.
I bet she did.
She came over and helped with that.
She was going to help with my LA apartment. She was so funny. She was like, I see like a neon sign. I was like, that's very me. Lots of little things. Like we had to buy a doorbell. There was just like lots of little things. And I was like, it's okay. It can be done slowly.
Oh, you isn't know? That luxurious?
Yes. Yeah.
That is really, I keep panicking and going, I've got to. And it's like, no, especially for us. Cause I owned one house when I was on Suite Life. and just assumed that like your trajectory is always going to go upwards. So of course I have a job now, and that means I can, and I don't know, note to those members of our audience, I don't know if you know this, but if you can no longer give the bank money, they stop letting you live in your house.
If you have a mortgage.
Yeah, if you have a mortgage. Well, or rental, they don't let you. Yeah.
That's probably is a very good comfort to a lot of people who also might have the same idea. I have that idea, or did have that idea about my career, that trajectory is only up. And I was like, no.
Well, and that was another, so I'm panicked going into this buy. And so what we did was, we bought a house that was still within, that after the down payment, what remained on the mortgage was still within our net worth.
Yes, because like, I wanted to ask you that too, because I knew that you had been saving for a house for years.
Since I lost the last one.
That's right.
So 12 years.
Because you were very like, oh, that's not going to happen again. So you were approved for a mortgage.
Here's why.
Okay, yes.
Because I am incorporated.
Yes.
So through the pandemic,
yeah,
even though I didn't have the same income to my corporation still paid Kim Rhodes the same amount of money.
Okay.
So I, as a person, looked like I was still earning money, even though my corporation was not.
See, I also am incorporated, but because I personally get taxed on what my corporation pays me, my accountant is like, pay yourself the least amount possible so you'll pay the least amount of taxes. And I had my rent was so cheap that I didn't need to pay myself that much. So then we went for a mortgage. It didn't matter that my corporation was making all this money, like pre-pandemic. What mattered was what Brianna Buckmaster made.
Yeah.
And that was hardly anything because I didn't need it. So
yeah.
I didn't pay myself. So I had a great, so for that reason, I had a massive like corporate amount that I could loan myself as a down payment.
I will tell you, and this is, I also was, so you went on and asked for advice. Here's the, okay, I want to be helpful for our listeners out there. I have a tendency to do shit by myself, which means I try to do things that I'm not good at. I did not do that this time. Mm-hmm. You suggested getting referrals for movers. Mm-hmm. I got a real estate agent from someone else. I didn't look at the, I took someone else's advice on my real estate. I took my real estate agent's advice for the loan officer who helped, who is the person who found a way to make my corporation and my personal come together. So they thought I had a lot more.
Mortgage broker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But asking over and oh, and who do you, and what do I, and how do I, asking for help has made a tremendous difference in this moving process. We even hired, I mean, this is slightly aside, one of our cars has been in the shop since February. And I tweeted about it and they were like, oh no, bad publicity. And they tried to help us. And then they were like, we can't help you, gone. And I was like, but you didn't help me at all. Nothing's happened.
Oh,
so we've got a lawyer that's dealing.
God.
But again, hiring a lawyer is asking for help instead of just, this whole thing has been this amazing experience in, if I ask for help, if I look at the truth of what is instead of what I wish it were and I'm mad it isn't. And finally, trusting my husband. I had to really trust that my needs would matter to him and that he would trust me enough to know that his needs matter to me. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time we've ever, because I run roughshod through life and I'm so used to my needs not being met that if I decide how they're going to be met, I just grab and devour. Mm-hmm. And the people I love sometimes get hurt in the process. Mm-hmm. And I have come so far as a person since the last time my husband and I had to do something like this that I really was like, honey, I know in the past when I say your needs matter, it's just lip service and I'm going to go do whatever the fuck I want. Mm-hmm. But I really mean it. Mm-hmm. And it feels good to really, even if it means I'm not going to get what I think I want, it felt better to be like, holy fuck, I really mean it. I want my family to be happy. Mm-hmm. And we ended up finding a house that had all of the bells and whistles that he was looking for.
Here's the other thing about moving, to move into like more emotional, spiritual side of it. When, and I had said this to Jose, because it was something that occurred to me recently about what I was experiencing with the move, because there's something about my new house where I feel like I'm disconnected from it. Like, I won't allow myself to, like, people are like, how's the new house? I'm like, it's, you know, I still have this answer as a canned answer of it needs some work, you know, but it's great. And even if it's not great, I know it's going to be great, but I kind of won't let myself go there. And I remember having the same feeling. And I talked today in the panel a little bit about how when I was pregnant, I was like really uncomfortable with my relationship with the pregnancy. And I remember Jose would be like, oh my God, we're going to have a baby. And my response would always be like, maybe, because I would be worried that something was going to happen to the pregnancy. I said, I feel like this with a lot of my relationships, where it was like, I keep people at a certain distance, or I love them to an unhealthy amount because I know that that's going to crash and burn and then I will be proven right, you know? So I was like, oh, I'm having the same experience with this house because we were asked to leave our other house, which feels like a breakup.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to love this house because I'm worried somebody's going to take it away from
me. Yeah, same. Yes. I'm so scared. I'm like, what if?
And it's a core need. It is our home.
The word home is my, when they're like, the back when James Lipton was like, if there's a heaven, what is the words that God, oh, see, I'm tearing up. And what will God say to you when you walk in heaven? And I'm like, welcome home. Mm-hmm. The word home is my everything. And the idea that, like, what if I've made a mistake and this isn't home? Mm-hmm. What if home betrays me? What if my experience isn't the same as the word means in my heart? And
So I think there was a lot. Not only is it challenging in this world financially and logistically to move, I think it's really hard on the heart too. And if we can take a second to just recognize that, and to those people, I talked with a few people in the Joan Club who are having a similar experience of like, my roommate left and I don't know if I can swing it myself, or I have to, you know, their personal circumstances have changed, or even they just want to move. It's not just logistical. It really does trigger within us a sense of safety and a core need.
It's primal. And that's, and this is where, I feel a bow coming on, is that you are so eloquent about when you talk about not letting outside circumstances define your inner truth, and not, what is it, outsourcing your joy. Mm-hmm. And I think of that always in terms of the patriarchy and the power structure and my career. But this is another area where that's true, where I can't outsource my love, my joy, my sense of home and connection to an environment.
That's right.
And that is so, this is a whole other level of surrendering into that truth and just being, home is where the heart is.
Yeah.
And my heart is inside me.
And learning to be okay no matter what.
So my home and my security and my safety and my love and my joy, I have to trust. Now, sometimes the pure, brutal fucking facts of the matter are my environment does not make that possible.
Yeah.
But that is not my current experience. So if I send my brain into what if, when the what if is not true, then I'm sending my heart away from its home, you know, and into fear. So I think this is a good test for me to accept and trust blessings and be grateful and not take them for granted instead of walking in and being like, I'm not actually going to love you because I'm scared you're going to go away.
Yeah. Or learning that you can be both. You can put all of your love and joy and sense of home in a physical home, and you can be okay without it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
We did it.
I love you, Brianna.
I love you too, Kim Rhodes.
Yes.